Hey, good day, everyone. This is Rob Espero of the Viral Volley Podcast, and I am so excited to have one of my dear friends who I've known for the last few years here, Miss Olivia Phelps, on with me today just to talk about life and the good stuff, which could also be known as volleyball. But I mean, there's definitely life happening, and we're going through some, you hear this word all the time, unprecedented times. But, you know, we're all in this together. We are trying to work our way and be hopeful to see the other side of this. So, Olivia, thank you for joining me today on the Viral Volley Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, you know, it's always wonderful to see you sideline reporting and on the ESPN broadcasts and web streams for all the big matches. And I love seeing you just enjoy the game. So I thought it'd be a great opportunity to have you on and also talk about one of your pet projects that I thought was a phenomenal project that you can share a little, being that it's technically the anniversary of the finishing of the project. So with that, let's just start off some general questions about you. Can you share with us how you've developed an interest in sports and how you eventually became a sports journalist and a sideline reporter?
Yeah, absolutely. This is actually one of my favorite questions. I used to fantasize about people asking me this question or what I would say. But I grew up playing sports and came from a very sport-loving household. And my parents really instilled in us the importance of sports and what sports can do for you and teach you. And I played soccer growing up and volleyball in high school. And my brother played baseball my entire life. So I always say that I spent more time at a baseball field than anywhere else. And I loved it. I didn't want to be anywhere else. I would always beg my dad and brother to invite me to go to games and to practice in the field. And I spent quite a bit of time shagging balls in the outfield. But just my parents really instilled in me the importance of sports. And I loved them. I never thought that it would be a career path for me. In high school, I did a lot of speech and debate. And so I think that's kind of where it started in terms of being a public speaker or enjoying that. And I loved writing essays. So when I went to school, I knew that I wanted to write, but I had no idea what that meant, in what avenue, or how I would pursue that. And I went to UC Irvine, so shout out to the Big West. But I wanted to be a writer. And then one summer, it was the summer before my junior year of college, I was staying with some family in Utah. My aunt was sick. She had breast cancer. And so I was there with my mom. We were probably there for about, 3 or 4 weeks. And it was a tiny, tiny town. The town would shut down for the high school football games on Friday, which was like heaven to me. I always told my aunt, that was her front porch, was my favorite place to be in the whole world. And so she had some connections. My aunt and her family had some connections with the local newspaper. So she was kind of got me connected with them. And it was the Salina Sun. And that was my first ever experience in the news world. And I was doing everything from delivering papers, dropping off papers, stuffing papers with ads. And the woman that was in charge of the newspaper, she was like, I know you've played sports and you're involved in sports. Would you like to cover the football game? I was like, yeah, that sounds so much fun. And she had a column, and it was kind of more interviewing people in the stands and their fan experience, and I got to be on the sidelines. And I think that was my first really experience talking to strangers and going up and conducting interviews like that in that space. And I have the most vivid memory standing on the sidelines, and it just kind of, it was one of those come to Jesus moments that was, oh my gosh, people do this for a living. This is a career. And that moment changed everything. And from that moment, that just kind of launched everything and why I am where I am today. And I think the next morning I got in touch with the school newspaper at UC Irvine, and I was obviously in Utah still at the time. And they started sending me game recaps and kind of having me like write remotely. And I mean, that was also, I had never covered anything, so that was completely new. And I had done some articles, I think, in some other sections as well. But once sports started going, it was like, okay, this is definitely what I want to do, what I love. It was so much fun. And then when we came to school in the fall, I just wrote and went to as many games as I could go to. I think one of the blessings in disguise about having gone to UC Irvine and at a school where, you know, it's not a Power Five, and it wasn't a campus that was, you know, heavily covered sport-wise. So I had the opportunity to pretty much, I mean, be creative, and I don't think any of my pitch stories were turned down. There were other writers that also covered sports, but I mean, there was plenty to go around. So I completely got my feet wet, and I had incredible editors ahead of me that, I mean, taught me so much. And I mean, I was completely green. So I kind of got my start there, and I wanted to be a sports writer. There was no TV, no TV experience. That was kind of what I decided. And I had already applied for, there's a program at in the UC system called UCDC. So it's kind of like studying abroad, but instead of going abroad, you study in Washington, D.C. And I had already applied. And the program, the way the program works is that you, it's all UC, I guess, sanctioned, but you take UC courses and then you intern. So the point is to intern in the city and have that experience. And then it's, once you're accepted into the program, it's up to you to find an internship. So when I applied, I wasn't really sure which path I would want to go, and ended up having that experience that summer. And so I applied to every sport related internship, journalism internship that I could find. And I ended up getting connected with the Washington Times. So I interned that winter. So the UCs are on quarters. So it was from about January to March. I got to be in Washington, D.C. and intern for the Washington Times, and my beat was Georgetown women's basketball. So I was doing that every single day, which was such an incredible experience. And I also had very patient mentors and editors that completely took me under their wing and showed me the ropes. And I also had the opportunity to work with writers, the professional beat writers, and go on site with them. I got to cover the Nationals. I covered the Wizards by myself. That was incredible. And so it kind of worked like the beat writer would take me along on a game and I would watch them in the process. And then towards the end of my internship, they kind of let me roam free a little bit, which was really, really cool. And baseball season was just starting at the end of it. So I got to do some of those things as well. And Maryland's really close. So I covered, I want to say a couple of those baseball games. And again, that just completely set me up for success and really allowed me, I guess, the opportunity to get my feet wet and feel it out. And from day one, I absolutely loved it. And to find out if that is what I wanted to do and is what I wanted to pursue. And so I came back from that. And I applied to be the sports editor my senior year of college, and I was fortunate enough to be afforded that opportunity. And again, that was, I can't say enough about how important that experience was in my career, and just in my ability to go out and speak to as many coaches that I had the opportunity to, and go to as many games as I did. And it's so, you hear it probably more than anything else in the industry. You just have to do it. You're not going to know what it feels like, you know, on camera. It's, you get your reps. And for writing, it's the same thing. You're only as good as your last article and how much you're reading and how much you're writing. And I would wake up, I learned early on in college and when I started writing that I was the most creative between like 4 and 6, 7 a.m. So I would wake up and write. I would watch SportsCenter. I would watch it again. I would write again. I would edit during that time. So senior year was definitely very fortuitous in what in where my career went after that. I also met the Big West and people who eventually ended up being my boss at the Big West my senior year of school. So I ended up, I actually volunteered at the Wooden Legacy, and it's changed names a couple times, but it's back to being the Wooden Legacy. But the Big West at one point also hosted. And so my senior year, I volunteered and I got to blog for ESPN. So that was my first experience with ESPN. And it was incredible. It's over Thanksgiving. So I missed Thanksgiving with my family, and I'm a very family-oriented person. So that was my first taste of understanding that the way I looked at it is that if you're working, when you work in sports, if you're working on those big holidays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, New Year's, you're doing something right. So that was kind of my first taste of it. But it was incredible. It was, I think, 4 days. There was a break in between of basketball all day. And it was also my first experience having people not agree with what I wrote or what I said. There was one in particular where there were two bloggers, and one of us was assigned, it was the day before the championship, one of us was assigned one team to like write as if this team was going to win, and then I was assigned the other team. And so I was doing my assignment, and it's whether I agreed with it or not. But that was my first taste of like, oh my gosh. But my reaction to it was, someone's reading, like people are seeing it, which was really, really cool. So I met the Big West, and I met Steve Chen at that tournament. And then come the Big West tournament, basketball tournament, in the spring, I volunteered that. It was at UC Irvine that year as well. So I volunteered for that. And this is such a long and winded answer.
Not at all.
A very simple question. But long story short, it was already long. But the summer that I graduated, the Big West happened to have an opening for an intern. And which is funny because I was so close, and the person who actually sent me the internship was someone that I wrote for College Baseball Daily, who's located on the East Coast. So he forwarded me the email, which just goes to show, you know, network. But I contacted the Big West. They did not get back to me probably for 3-4 weeks, but I was, you know, doing what I was supposed to do and how I was taught to, you know, you follow up every so often. And finally I got in touch with them. I think I ended up calling a couple times, and I came in for an interview, which I will also never forget. I met with Steve Chen and Mike Villamore, who's still with the Big West. And it was for a sports information internship, which I, at the time, didn't have any interest in being a sports information director. But I knew that it was a way for me to get my foot in the door. And I was also wildly excited to work in college sports and to have the chance to work with teams that I had covered and coaches that I had covered. And it was also allotted me the opportunity. I kind of asked, okay, so once I finish my sports information work, can I write features? Can I do other things? And they're like, sure, of course. Like, you have creative freedom. So that was really, I mean, all of the credit, and I'm so grateful and thankful to the Big West and to both Mike and Steve for giving me that opportunity. And when they really meant what they said. And so I started writing, which turned into television and turned into, that's kind of a very long answer for that question.
Well, that's actually, you know, I had some follow-up questions though, but so had you been, you said you'd contacted UC Irvine. Were you not at UC Irvine yet as a student, or were you about to go in? Were you admitted, or were you transferring in? I'm trying to put together a timeline in my head.
Yeah. So when I contacted the newspaper, mm-hmm. So I was a student at Irvine. I just hadn't been involved with the newspaper. So I probably went online, Google searched, which is the new university. So I hadn't been involved, with the club or organization. So that's who I was contacting. So I was already a student. I was, okay. It was the summer between my sophomore and junior year.
So the other question is this, you know, obviously hearing your experience with basketball and baseball, and I came to know you through volleyball. You have such a great passion and a great personality. It just seems like you naturally fit with the other people that you're working with. What do you attribute that to? Because I mean, obviously, I like to think you're only volleyball specific, but I know that Olivia, you are such a wonderful a personality, and people are very comfortable working with you as a sideline reporter or a sports journalist. What do you think is the key element in you doing that and being successful in that?
Well, thank you for saying that. That's really sweet. And a great question, because I don't know if I've ever thought about that. But I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is I genuinely am so curious and interested in what whoever I'm talking to, what this person has to say. I call it the Bible. I have a big binder that I keep my favorite articles in. And my dad, for as long as I can remember, has gotten the Sports Illustrated magazine. So he always lets me read it after he's done. And sometimes I just steal it and read it first. But I would save all of the articles that made me feel something. And I'm a very emotional person. So I can cry. I cry watching commercials on TV, just anything that like tugs at the heartstrings. So I would save all the articles that made me laugh or elicited some emotion, made me cry or gave me the goosebumps. And I've probably read those articles 50, 60 times each. And so I would ask myself, like, what was it about this? What was it about this sentence? What was it about this paragraph that really elicited that emotion? And so I think paying attention to that and knowing what questions to ask and making that person, the most important thing in an interview is making that person feel comfortable and making them feel safe and making them trust you with their story. And I try really hard to never take that for granted. And I know and I understand. And I treat the sideline the same way. I think growing up with my brothers just a year and a half younger, and we were only a year apart in school, so we were really close. And so when I would be at his games, I was very aware early, before I began a career in sports journalism, I was very aware that that's not somewhere that you belong, and that might come off in a way that doesn't fit in today's climate, but I was very aware, and I'm still very aware, that it's such a sacred space. If you're in the dugout, or if you're on the sidelines, if you're listening into a huddle, that's not your place. You're being allowed the privilege of being there. That coach trusts you, those players trust you to do your job, and you're there to do a job, and you have the right to be there, but it's their space, and it's their game. And I think knowing that at the end of the day, like, the importance is they're those people. They're playing the game. They're the ones, you know, we wouldn't be there without them, without the athletes and the coaches and everything that they've worked so hard to do. And I think coming with that understanding of respect and knowing that they've put in all of that work and so many hours that we don't see, and we'll never know what goes into that on a level that they do. Those people that entrust you with their words. And so I think maybe that just kind of sets a tone of comfort when you come to this space not feeling entitled or you're here because I want you to be here type of thing. Maybe that's part of it, and just having that understanding. But that's something that I think about religiously before any interview, before any game. It's, you know, I'm there to tell a story, and to tell the right story and to tell it the right way and to understand that it's been entrusted to you. I think that might have something to do with it.
Love that response, because you know, especially in promoting the game, it does require you to be in those spaces where strategy and mental state are being discussed and mechanics improvements. So you being able to be there with those athletes means that you're being entrusted with something that may or may not be shareable to the public.
Right. Absolutely. And my dad coached growing up when I was growing up too. So I think that helps too, having seen it from that side and, you know, how important every single game and practice is, and having been, you know, playing sports and being an athlete in high school. And I think having that level of understanding.
Now, what sports did you play, Olivia? I got to ask.
So I played soccer growing up, and I played up until eighth grade, and then I played volleyball in high school. So that's where my love for volleyball comes from. I loved it so much, and I wish, I don't believe in regret, but if I did, I wish I would have kept playing, played longer than I did. So I was so excited when the Big West decided to, or was afforded the opportunity and all of the work that went in to sponsoring men's volleyball and beach volleyball. So I was so excited, so lucky to be there when all of that happened.
Yep, that was all under your watch, your time there. And I had the opportunity and the blessing to spend as much time as I did with you as an agent of the Big West Conference for men's, women's, and collegiate beach, which meant three times the fun.
Oh my gosh. It was such an exciting time. And I mean, having the opportunity to be with you and to, I had no idea the culture that surrounds Southern California when it comes to beach volleyball and, I mean, even men's volleyball. It was just a completely new world to myself and I think to the conference as well. And being able to be there when it all happened and to kind of decide how we were going to tell the story, same thing, how we were going to tell the story and how we were going to pitch stories, and it was really a dream as a reporter and as a storyteller.
Right. Now you had your hand in obviously the men's, women's, and collegiate beach games. What are your thoughts on the competitive status of the Big West teams in regards to the rest of the nation?
I mean, one of my favorite, I guess, ideas was that, or facts, we'll say facts, was that the Big West is the only Division I conference to have sponsored men's indoor, women's indoor, and beach. And I think that just goes to show how important and how serious it was taken and how the higher ups at the conference level understood the level of competition and the level of talent and the opportunity to grow. I mean, that's, you know, one of the pillars is grow the game, right? So I think it really said a lot that the membership and the conference formed the way that it did. I mean, in experiencing the first Big West season was incredible, and to see the level of talent, specifically men's volleyball, was so special. And I mean, you're watching, I remember trying to explain it to my family when it was the first season. It was like, you don't, like, these are the Olympians. These are the people that we will be representing the country come Olympic cycle. And these are the coaches that have gold medals and have represented the United States or, you know, the different countries that they've played for. And to understand that, it's not like any other sport that the Big West has to offer, I guess. Mm-hmm. It's just a different culture. Not to say that there isn't rich talent in other sports, but it's just very different.
Right. So last question for our little break here. Can you share one or two of your favorite moments that you've been a part of in men's, women's indoor, or the collegiate beach game in the time that you're at the Big West?
Oh my gosh, that's so hard. There's so many.
I said one or two.
I know. Okay, well, first one would have to be the 2018 Men's Volleyball National Championship. Never having covered or worked a national championship, it was that's what you dream about as a reporter. And as someone, I love sports. I could watch sports, games, athletes. I could listen to interviews of athletes all day, every day. And to just be one, a fan of competition, and then to be there in a working capacity with a team that we had been able to in Long Beach State, with Long Beach State, having had the opportunity in the fall, knowing that, you know, what I had heard was that this was a really special team, and I didn't know what that meant yet. And I mean, Alan Knight was absolutely incredible since day one. And I credit all of our success to his willingness to let us be in the gym with him and his players and have the time to sit down. And I mean, this was even pre-legacy. This was back when it was season one of Big West play. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, I was able to, I had a better understanding of the players, and I kind of knew their backstories, and we had been in the gym and we had sat down with Nick Amato and we had talked to Alan and we had profiled players. And so having that, having the ability to have had that experience and to have to walk in knowing those things, and then to get to cover it, and then that they win, and you know, then you get the celebration and the interviews, and that's something that I will never forget, that feeling and those moments and what it looked like, what it sounded like, all of it. I mean, that would have to be at the very top. And then I do have to say that for beach volleyball, having the opportunity to be on the ground floor when it came to figuring out what a championship would look like, and figuring out, learning those players and understanding who they were, kind of same thing in the world of volleyball. Mm-hmm. And how, I mean, volleyball is such a unique sport and such a unique culture that everyone's known everyone since the beginning, and they've played together and they've played beach together, and their families are so intertwined, and the sport is so ingrained in these players. And I feel like almost more so you find these athletes who, it's such a lifestyle. And so getting to be on the ground floor of planning those championships was really, really cool. And the last one that I worked, P1440, as you know, streamed everything. And that was such a special and exciting moment when everything kind of came together and things were coming to fruition, and giving the athletes and the families the opportunity to watch and to be able to make that happen was so, so cool. And beach volleyball, I mean, has become one of my favorite sports to watch, and just like the nature of the game and how exciting it is. And those are definitely memories that I will carry with me forever as well.
Wow. Some good stuff, Olivia. And, we're going to go and take a little break right there, just so we can get a little breather, take a big drink of water, and we're going to continue on with Olivia Phelps. All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here on with Olivia Phelps, sideline reporter of ESPN, as well as just a wonderful sports personality who has this, I like to call it a hidden love of volleyball, but I realize she's just passionate about sports. Thanks again for joining me on the Viral Volley Podcast, Olivia.
So excited to be here.
Hey, I wanted to ask you more of a general question. I know we've gone kind of specific in our previous segment, but who've been some of your favorite personalities to work with so far that you've come across? And they can be volleyball. I hope they're volleyball, but if there are others, I'm okay with it.
There's so many. I have a clipboard that I've had since college, and after every interview I've done, I'm out of space now, but I would write down my favorite thing that they said. So there are so many to choose from, and I'm trying to think of the people who come to mind. I mean, first person, definitely Nick Amato. I always say that there's stories that you have to find, and then there are stories that just tell themselves. And he was one of those of the latter. And we had the opportunity to sit down with him prior to the 2018 championship. And that was more of an injury story. So, which are pretty standard. It's usually, adversity, and how that person made it back to the floor. I made it back to the field. And he was just one of those people that we sat down and I was immediately blown away. He was so well spoken. It was one of those moments where we were sitting down in the offices, the coach's offices at Long Beach State, which where we would film some legacy episodes later. But mid-interview, it was like I wanted to tell his parents, you raised like such an incredible person. Just the way that he talked so highly of Long Beach State and just very well spoken. And also I was just blown away with his story and how he, he had played junior college volleyball and how his journey to Long Beach State and his relationship with Alan and the coaching staff. And, you know, he finally gets to the floor after, you know, how many years of trying to play Division I volleyball at that level. And I think it was something like a couple plays in and, you know, he blows out his knee. And then it was completely restarting that process of now he's rehabbing and he touched the floor, but only for a second. And listening to him with the wisdom that he had as someone that was so young was really, really special. And I was, again, blown away with the interview that I had with him. And it was so much fun to put together. And he was such a good sport. We had a pretty big crew that came down to interview him with me. And I love all the fun, you know, setting up all of the dramatic shots. And because his story went the way that it did, we had some wild ideas of, okay, like, let's sit you in the empty bleachers and let's do some really dramatic pans over your face and can we get close-ups of your knee? And I think he had a hole in his, like, leggings all the time, too. But he's like, yeah, like, he was game for anything. I think we stayed so much longer than we had planned, and he was excited, and it was so much fun. And that opportunity and that story, I think, made Legacy, even though it was months before Legacy was even a thing. It was months before, and I think it really laid the foundation in a really special and unique way. Nick Motto was the first episode of Legacy, and it was because I had sat down with him and I knew that he was everything I dreamed for, you know, to start the series and to give a taste of what the team was and to what Long Beach State stood for. Mm-hmm. And the ambassadors of the school and the sport that they, you know, they raise men. So that was, and that's still one of my favorite interviews that I've ever done. And we actually, my colleague, Alex Pennywell, who's still at the Big West, old coworker, she kind of makes fun of me for anytime I would see Nick Amato, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Nick. Or, you know, see his name come up on score sheets or athlete of the weeks. And she's like, okay, we get it.
That's actually a good segue into my next question, because I wanted to find out what was your inspiration in doing your project Legacy? And if you could just briefly explain what that is and explain what your inspiration was for doing that.
Absolutely. Legacy was a 5-episode docuseries that chronicled Long Beach State's 2019 national championship run when they got to defend their national title on their home floor. So Legacy started, honestly, I want to say 2018. I was kind of like I talked about before, I was so excited to finally, we knew that it was in the works for a really long time that men's volleyball was going to be a sanctioned sport by the Big West. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was a couple years from when the initial release went out. So by the time it got close, I was so excited and we had been doing so much work behind the scenes of, you know, again, telling the story the right way, figuring out who the key players were, who are these coaches, how do they fit into the big picture, who are Olympians. And so we had done all this research. And I mean, from the very beginning, I really, really tried to not let the conference and the people forget, like, what an incredible opportunity this was. And I know, I mean, they knew more than I did. They're the ones who put in the legwork and made it happen. But I was so excited to get to work with these people. So we did features that first year. I also had a mini social media show called The Big Five, where it was a quick minute or two of here are the top five things you need to know. And I did a lot of men's volleyball ones. And I also realized very early on that we were in an incredible, unique situation where the world of volleyball as a whole was desperate for content. And we had the ability and the crew and the people and the talent to create that content. And someone ran the stats that spring in terms of NCAA coverage. And the Big West was the source of pretty much like 95% of what the NCAA volleyball account was talking about in terms of men's volleyball. So, I mean, an incredible opportunity for us, and that afforded us the ability to tell the story. So that was kind of all the foundation. And I, Steve Chen and myself and Mike Fillmore, who was the sports information director for men's volleyball at the time, we would just talk about like, there's such an opportunity here. We have to do it the right way. Like we have, I remember thinking like day after day, like we have national championship contenders. Like, how do we do them? That's one of my big things is how do we do them justice? How do we do these athletes justice? How do we do these coaching staffs justice? And what does that look like? And so that's a lot of brainstorming and just, it was such an exciting time. So fast forward, Long Beach State wins the national championship in 2018. And I just remember thinking like, and we already knew that Long Beach State was hosting the 2019 national championship. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking like over and over, like this is a once in a career opportunity. We have national championship contenders and the now national champion is defending on its home court. And knowing what we knew about the players and, you know, the class that came in that everyone talked about from the day they stepped on campus or the day they signed their NLIs, you know, the TJ DeFalco and Jordan Molina, Nick Amato, Kyle Ensing. It was, again, I just kept going over and over and over. This is a once in a career opportunity. And I had, originally I pitched Legacy as a 10 episode docuseries. And I had it all drawn up of what episode was going to include what. And that was, it was kind of apparent that was too much. And we were trying to figure out, I'll take one step back. I presented a 10 episode series and I was like, okay, well, where's the money coming from? And at the time we had never, I was at the Big West when they signed the deal with ESPN. So that was kind of the beginning of, that was the summer of 2013, the summer that I started interning at the conference. That was kind of the beginning of the video and the television and creating video content that was then on the ESPN family of networks. And it was used by the NCAA. And we also produced a magazine show for Fox Sports for a couple of years. And so that was kind of the beginning of all of it. So there had never been an opportunity where we were looking for funding or looking for investors, I guess, to produce a particular piece. So that was also a new experience for me and a really big learning experience. So I pitched the series and it was too much. It was also the first time I had to come up with a budget. So that was really challenging, but also a really important experience. And I kind of worked the other way. I went, okay, who do I know would care enough about this content to pay for it? So I kind of went that way. And I remember like making a list. I think I talked to you about it at some point, like who can I?
Good advice.
So that's kind of how it went behind the scenes. And then it turned into, okay, it's going to be a 5-episode. Here's what every episode's going to include. Here's when they're going to be released. And we ended up finding the money and what it would look like. Everyone agreed. And then also at the same time, Joe Hood, who's an executive producer of the ESPN crew that covers the Big West Conference, and he's been with the Big West ESPN crew since day one, he was working with an outside production company at the time who really wanted to be involved in sports. So it was kind of an agreement that we came to, like, here's what we can do in terms of funding. What are you, if we were to work with you, what can you meet us here? Because you're going to be given this access and this opportunity and all those sort of things. So they agreed to work with us. And that was absolutely incredible. And they're an incredibly talented group of people that really, I mean, shaped what Legacy is. And so we had a production meeting and we kind of walked through everything. And that was kind of, that was the beginning. So the team that started working on it in the beginning saw it all the way through. And we also, I guess the series evolved as the season evolved. And granted, we didn't know, we were also gambling on whether Long Beach State would be in the national championship. Wow. And how well they were going to do that season. And it was really special and such a special moment in the in my career too, to see that Long Beach State was on board. I also, probably one of the most, big moments of Legacy, I remember walking into Alan Knipe's office with Nick McRae and pitching Legacy to him, because if he wasn't on board, we had no project. And again, I cannot say enough good things about Alan and his staff and the entire Long Beach State staff, from marketing to their athletic director. And I mean, everyone that was involved, because again, without their support, there is no Legacy. And Alan was on board, and it wasn't even, there were a couple concerns and questions that, you know, I was asking for things that people would bat an eye at. Like, I was like, can we be on the bus? Can we be in the locker room? Can we be in the weight room? Can we be at practice? Can we be pregame? And I had a whole game day sketched out of what it would look like. And he said yes to pretty much everything. Some things changed down the line. I mean, I was asking for the moon and stars, and
gotta go for it.
Yeah, exactly. And but we're sitting there, and so I'm telling him what I'm thinking and why I think it's going to work and how there's an audience for it, which I didn't have to convince him of any of those things. But it turned into, like, he got so excited about it, and he's like, we can get these people involved and contact this person. And it, again, I think it was just like the opportunity, the story told itself. We had very little to do. We were there to document things. We didn't need to do anything other than that. And it told itself. The people, the games, the matches, the culture, it was just so special. And I mean, a huge shout out and thank you again to Alan and to the staff. For, we mic'd him up during practice, and that's also something that's not normal for us to do and wasn't normal for us to do at the time. Mm-hmm. And it was also such a fortuitous time in terms of getting the coaches across the board to understand what our crew and what our, I mean, big picture, what the ESPN crew is capable of doing. When, you know, when you're not used to having a reporter in your huddles or a crew following you with multiple cameras and boom mics and lights and audio, it's really intimidating, I guess, or it's like, why are you here? You know?
Right.
And that kind of goes back to putting in the time to be trusted and to earn that respect. So that was kind of how Legacy all came to fruition.
Well, I definitely got to give a shout out to the Long Beach State staff. I know that they're very helpful with any media types. That would be Roger Kirk, Lindy Zamora. Then you have McKay Smith, who just congratulations to McKay, who is in the 30, like the ABCA under 30 club, to receive the recognition this year. Nick McRae. It's just a great crew over there at Long Beach State. So, and Alan Knipe, of course. And Alan and I go way back. We'll just say way back, and we'll leave it at that. So it's good to see this crew getting the recognition that they are, and that they got to be highlighted on your piece, which I didn't get to mention. It's technically the anniversary of the completion, being that there were no national championships held this year, but it was last year. So I've got to ask you, how was it like, you know, during the season, you got to see the, for the most part, it was ups. They just kept winning. And then a very powerful moment when they had their first loss in late March to, which was unanticipated, to USC. Going through the emotions with the team, what was it like doing that? And then having them lose again in the Big West Tournament Championship match to have it finally culminate into a repeat championship? Loaded question.
Very, very good question. It was really cool following the season because we were working with that production company, Still Moving Pictures, they were all so invested in it too. So I remember we had a text thread going and it was like, oh my gosh, they just lost. It was like a game, a match that no one had, like you said, anticipated to go in that fashion. And I remember we pulled up some of the feeds and everyone was so into it in the edit bay that day. And it was like, how could this happen? And where did USC come from? And so it was just made the season so much more exciting and dramatic.
I have to jump in there, though, because I saw the interview with Josh Tuininga, the senior setter, and it was a very powerful piece. And what he learned, because you happened to interview him right after that loss. Can you go into that a little bit?
Man, I mean, I think what it speaks to is the, again, Alan, and the way that he coaches his players and the way that he instills certain principles in them. And I'm trying to remember that interview with Josh specifically because it's not coming to me at the moment, but I do remember talking to players after the fact and talking to Alan. And it was, there was no, like, where everyone else, I know one of the big things that we heard probably a million times was, avoid the noise throughout that season, which mm-hmm. I mean, there was so much attention and so much media on that team. And like you said, everyone's like, you know, they were undefeated for so long. They had the home win streak. They were, you know, obliterating these records. And again, they were that class that everyone had looked at. But the way that I remember the team and the vibe and what it was like after that loss was confidence and the big picture, and not almost that they got it out of the way, but that it was, you know, we are looking ahead, you know, we're not here to not lose, we're here to win a national championship.
Right.
And so that was very interesting as well. But you'll have to remind me what Josh said.
Well, essentially, you had him on the shot on the bench at the pyramid, and he's talking about how, yeah, you know, we just couldn't get it going. But what stuck out the most, even through all these speaking, was the leadership that was instilled in him. He's given the stewardship of leadership or the mantle of leadership for the team, and how he's able to take it step by step. I mean, I think they're saying is 1% better each day. Yeah. And this was just a part of the process for the season. But seeing the maturity that came out of Josh Tuininga is what you captured in your that particular piece.
I mean, you said it perfectly. That was what I came away with as well. It was just, you know, the way that the coaching staff and all of Long Beach State was able to instill that in the players. And it was also very, very special to witness.
Well, if you go to straight to the, obviously they lost the Big West Championship, but that was in Hawaii. And I mean, that was a tough go, a five setter, which I mean, the Big West had to be loving that setup because all eyes were on that match.
Oh my gosh. I mean, talk about moments that I will never forget and favorite moments in the sport and the experience that I've had. I can conclusively say that in my career, I have never experienced anything like the Stans Sheriff Center packed for that Long Beach State Hawaii match. You could feel the crowd. It was so loud that you could feel the vibrations and every point. And there's a difference too between fans and between smart fans. And those Hawaii fans are smart, and they know the game, and they know what's important, and they know when to cheer, and they know, I mean, it was, the environment was absolutely insane. It was so, so cool. Thousands and thousands of people, and I had never experienced volleyball like that, and that sport like that. And I mean, it just took the game from here to here. And, you know, you have these two powerhouses, and Hawaii had had the incredible season that they had had and amassed that win streak. And they were setting NCAA records, and they were at the top of NCAA categories as well. And so the story kind of played out the entire season of these two powerhouses. Mm-hmm. And I cannot count the number of times I thought throughout the season and throughout the process of filming and shooting Legacy, I couldn't have written it better than the way it played out. I mean, we just got so, so lucky. And to have, I mean, it was a storyline the entire season, Long Beach State and Hawaii, the two top two teams, the entirety of the year hadn't met until the last couple of weeks when they were going to meet multiple times. And I mean, I still get like chills thinking about how it played out, and how I always think like they're sports gods, and like the way that they have seasons unfold. But watching Hawaii win in Hawaii was also one of the most incredible things. But we have a shot, and I will never forget, Hawaii wins and Long Beach State stood out on the court a lot longer than what it could have been. And I remember I like looked at our cameraman and producer and director, and I like looked at him, I was like, please get a shot of that. I'm like, mm-hmm. You know, telling him to run over there. And I can see it in real life, I can see it in the documentary. And it was something that I was really excited and interested to ask about after the fact. And we asked Alani and Josh about it, but I specifically remember asking Josh about it when we sat down at the end of everything. And you know, I asked him, you stood out for a really long time after Hawaii won the national, or won the Big West Championship, excuse me. And he just, what he said was that he never wanted to forget what that felt like, and never wanted to feel it again. And it was important that they felt it when they felt it. And sometimes those moments stick out in your mind more than the happy ones. And if that's, I also think that that was such a cog in what ended up, you know, eventually unfolding in the national championship.
Right. Now, when that final ball dropped at Long Beach State for the national championship match, and I look back, obviously I was working as the MC host, but in any other site, I could have seen that going to a decisive fifth set, and it could have gone either way, because Hawaii was actually up in that fourth set. And if it weren't for that Long Beach State home crowd, I think that's what got them that extra momentum to push them to win that fourth set. But what did you, take me through what you were going through personally when, because you'd been invested in it with the time that you had spent with the program doing Legacy, what were you going through?
Oh man. It was a very interesting project too, because we were doing it in real time. That was the first time I had ever worked on a documentary style feature. And so it's completely out of your control. So you're really just there to capture what's happening. And for as excited as you are, and you're so riled up, I remember we had, I think, five or six people filming on site that day. And we had gotten to a system where we all had walkie-talkies. And so when a big moment was about to happen, it would be like, okay, you know, do you have it? Do you have the high angle? Do you have the low angle? Are you getting the close up? You know, and so we would all be directing
each other. Shot of Rob?
Probably. The amount of footage that we have is unreal. And again, I mean, still moving pictures, absolutely incredible. And yeah, they got, I mean, their passion completely seeps through the project as well. They got so into it and they learned the sport so quickly. So they, I mean, by the end, they were anticipating things, and which is the only reason that I think it turned out the way that it did. But so for that final moment, I remember feeling I wasn't pulling for either side. There is a story either way. They were in the national championship game. They got there. They earned that spot. It was a rematch of the Big West Championship. Again, it was, I couldn't have written it better. And it was just so special the way that it played out. But at that point, I just remember I wasn't pulling for either side. And I remember we all kind of talked about it, the crew beforehand. It was like what we all wanted to happen. And it was more so just we wanted it to be a good match. And we wanted there to be that excitement. And I remember thinking at the last point was a little anticlimactic.
Especially pokey battle they had between and Lotto.
I mean, no national championship's going to be anticlimactic, but compared to the 2018 final point and then, you know, juxtaposed with 2019, but going back and watching the final point is really cool to see. I think one of the coolest things is seeing every player's reaction. And we again got, I'd like to say that we were anticipating, but we got so lucky at the end as well, because Josh, well, we kind of were anticipating, because at the end of 2018, I'm sure you remember, Josh took off running and he ran a lap around the court. So we happened to be, I was on the Long Beach State side, and we were kind of back behind service line to the left, like we're behind the barrier. And I wasn't filming. I had my phone out though, so I was getting it on my phone. But Josh, and we had talked to Josh, so we knew the importance of his family and that backstory and everything that he had been through and everything that his family means to him. And we had seen his family on site. And so he, point ball drops, everyone starts celebrating. We are right next to Josh's brother. And Josh beelines his brother. Yes, Josh Funiga. And he beelines straight to his brother. And he's crying. And it was so beautiful. And in the midst of all the chaos, and just we captured, I mean, we were this close to capturing him and his brother embrace. And Jordan Molina ran and jumped on Josh's back. And that's what I remember the most. I remember Josh seeing his brother crying, tears in his eyes, overcome with emotion, and that celebration, that's the most vivid image in my mind of that final point and everything that ensued after.
Well, it's an incredible piece, Olivia, and I did see that piece, a particular episode where Josh beelined and went to his brother Gus, just weeping in such a powerful moment, and hats off to your camera operator, whoever that was, to be there to capture that moment, because it is very touching and a very special moment that I'm sure that Junior, their dad, will appreciate, as well as Gus and Mia, the sister. So obviously I know a few of the Tuanigas.
You're dialed in, Rob.
Hey, I've got to ask you, in the whole process, and I know it's going to be difficult, but who was your favorite interview? No explanation, just who was your favorite interview? You mentioned Nick Amato. But
I feel like I can't say it without explaining. That is so hard. Do I get a small explanation?
Yes.
Okay. I will have to say TJ DeFalco, because we had talked to him a couple times before, and at the point of sitting down with him, it was in the middle of his senior campaign, or his last campaign, excuse me. And I was so impressed. I was impressed with everyone that we interviewed, like I mentioned before, but I was so impressed with how he had matured and how he had grown. And the person that was sitting in front of me was not the same person that I had sat in front of before. And I remember when, before the Big West had sponsored the sport, and so that year before when we were kind of learning who everyone was, and you hear all these names, and of course you hear TJ DeFalco's name in every conversation. And I had, you know, you hear about his competitiveness and his demeanor on the court, and my favorite thing to see is are those people and those athletes that they have this switch that they flip on and off the court. And it's just something that I think really divides and distinguishes people and athletes. And TJ is definitely one of those people. But to see again how he grew and how he matured and the level of, what's the right word? Confidence in a different way and calm. I mean, he talked about, it was really cool to hear. He talked about meditating and how he had started meditating and how that changed him and his demeanor on the court. And I thought that was so interesting. I was so curious about that work that he had put in mentally. And he talked about listening, the music that he listened to. And it was just really, really cool to be able to put that together and to capture that moment in time, I guess. And again, so much credit to him for sitting down and taking the time to chat with us and all of the players that did throughout the course of our filming. But it was really cool to see where he had, you know, how he had grown and how he had matured. And
well, Olivia, your piece, I mean, the ability to capture what you did in legacy, you caught a very special group of guys, of Nick Amato, of Jordan Molina, TJ DeFalco, Kyle Ensing, and Josh Schoeniger, this team that had been together for multiple years, some of them even their entire volleyball careers, yeah. And you were able to capture that in legacy. So I feel like I need to direct people to where they can watch this. So can you tell us where our viewers, listeners can watch Legacy?
Absolutely. It's all available, all 5 episodes, on the Big West Conference's YouTube channel. And if you just, I think at this point, if you just type in Legacy, they populate. But if you know, Legacy Long Beach State, they're all viewable. And I also have to, I'd be remiss to not say, I'm so grateful that the Big West gave me that opportunity, and they understood how important it was and how special that moment in time was. And also grateful for that support too.
Great. Now, for our listeners and viewers, how can they follow what Olivia Phelps is doing on social or websites or Facebook?
Yeah. On Instagram, it's Livy Phelps. And then Twitter is Olivia G. Phelps. Those are probably the most populated social media channels. And lots of features on the Big West Conference YouTube channel in all sports.
Excellent. Well, Olivia, I appreciate you taking the time to talk about your career and your special project, which happens to fall on the anniversary of the NCAA Men's Division I-II Volleyball Championship. It's such great stuff. And it's always such a pleasure catching you courtside and being able to chat with you, although there's just for a few seconds, but just to know that I've got a special friend out there with me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for inviting me. It was so much fun.
Oh, I'm not letting you go. There's still a special segment I can warn you of. So we're going to do that next here. Again, if you're watching, you are here with my guest, Olivia Phelps, sideline reporter, sports journalist, and just awesome person all around. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to go into our rundown segment, which I did not prepare her for.
Oh, boy.
A brief explanation there. All right, everyone, I'm here with Olivia Phelps, who's just joined me on the Viral Volley podcast. We've had such a wonderful discussion about how she came to become a sports journalist and some special projects she's worked on called The Legacy that features Long Beach State's run to their back-to-back national championship. But now we get to find out the internals, backside. Well, not the backside, not the good term for that, but the behind the scenes Olivia Phelps in the rundown, which is I'm going to throw her some questions and she's got to give me a quick response. So I've randomly selected them. We'll see what Olivia says and we can have some good times with her. All right, Olivia, what is your favorite song?
Oh my goodness. Well, the first one that comes to mind is Calling All Angels because I love the angels.
All right. Favorite place to be is fill in the blank.
The beach.
Favorite book?
The Giver by Lewis Lowry.
Oh. And favorite kind of food?
Barbecue.
Oh, God bless you. Okay. On a deserted island, you wouldn't want to be without fill in the blank.
Harry Potter.
All right. And what is your favorite team or sport to cover?
Oh, that is so hard. I grew up in a big Angels fan, but I already gave them a shout out. Oh, that's so hard.
Dumped you.
We'll go with volleyball as my favorite to cover since you've been giving me all the volleyball love.
If you had $1 million or won the California lotto, I would fill in the blank.
I would travel.
That's an easy answer. We'll let you get away with that one. Favorite movie?
Oh, The Little Giants.
Nice.
Hands down.
If you could be quarantined with someone for the next 6 months, who would that be with? Not the boyfriend.
Well, I am quarantined with him, so we'll go with him. But we're trying to get a puppy, so we'll go with him and the puppy.
he's a close second to the puppy.
He knows he's the real number one. So,
and finally, or actually not finally, second to last. Okay. If you could throw caution to the wind, with whom would you throw out the 6 foot social distancing rule for?
Oh, my brother. I miss hanging out with my brother.
That's a sweet answer. Brother, good Christmas present for Olivia this year. And then finally, do you have a favorite quote to live by?
I'm such a quote person. I have so many. My favorite quote would have to be a Beatles lyric. All your life, if you were only waiting for this moment to be free.
Oh, what song is that? I'm a Beatles fan. I'm stumped.
Blackbird, I think.
Okay. This is the late 60s Beatles.
Yes, it is. But that's how I try to live.
Well, that is an awesome. Hey, Olivia, thank you again for being here for the rundown and on the Viral Volley podcast. I look forward to seeing you doing some other work in volleyball and other sports, but just remember us small people who are big fans and supporters.
Oh my gosh, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for inviting me, and I probably went way over my time limit, but it was so much fun to catch up.
Oh, that's the beauty of podcasts and vodcasts. I run it. I can determine how long it's going to be.
Never run out of tape.
Yep. But I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the special friendship that we've got, seeing each other working alongside each other at big events. And it's always been such a wonderful time to just sit and chat with you.
Thank you so much.
I look forward to the time that we can do the hugging thing again and see each other courtside.
Yes, courtside and at a game and with fans in the stands. And
oh, that for sure.
I count down the days.
All right. Hey, for Olivia Phelps, I'm Rob Asparo for the Viral Volley Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to support your local restaurants. In the time we have right now, there are a lot of people struggling. And the way that we can help each other out is by supporting our local restaurants. I'm going to pick my favorite, Vitaly Cafe over in the camp. Vitaly.net. Check them out. Say hi to my buddy Mauricio while you're over there. And be sure to follow Olivia Phelps on social media and check out Legacy, available on YouTube. Correction. I think it's Legacy Long Beach State on YouTube. Thank you again all, and have a wonderful rest of your day.